And welcome back to another episode of Walk with the Weird with Ashley and Janice.
With the microphone again.
With the microphone. So you found the cord.
I lost the cord.
You bought another cord and then you found the cord right after you bought the other one.
And then I lost it again.
Did you really?
Yeah, I can't find it. That's why we're using the gray cord instead of the white cord.
Oh my lord.
Yeah, I know, I've already re-lost it.
I mean, hey, it happens to the best of us, right?
I'm assuming so.
And tonight, we actually have something special. We are drinking Swedish hard cider.
Yeah.
And it's pear cider. It's very, very delicious.
Because who's from Sweden and likes Swedish things and collects them and then brings them here?
That would be you.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes. They did change my profile and ancestry to give me a little bit more Swedish, but it's still not nearly as much as you have.
No, I got almost exactly 1/8, which is the most I could have.
Yeah.
And I'm almost right at it exact. I think I'm 1% below 1/8. I was like, oh, hi.
That is a very strong set. The Swedish is strong in you.
It is. Although my aunt says I look like my great-grandmother anyways, and she was 100% Swedish.
I mean, it's weird. Genetics are weird like that.
They are.
Sometimes they can literally skip 3 generations, and then it's like, boom.
Yeah.
But, so, tonight I did finally figure out who I was going to talk about tonight.
After much debate.
Mostly because...
That I had to listen to.
Yeah. Well, the ones that I wanted to do, unfortunately, it's going to have to be a while because most of the information is in Spanish because it's from Spain. And I don't speak Spanish. And I don't want to get translations wrong if I can avoid it. So...
I get it.
It's fair enough. But tonight you're talking about the Sodder children.
I moved my phone away from there so that there's no interference because I've got this on mute and I would not. No, I don't have it on mute. Do I? I don't know. We'll find out if it makes noise.
We shall find out. But we're doing the Sodder children. They are 5 children that were presumed to be missing in 1945. After a fire went through their house. And I say presumed because there's a lot of difference of opinions between the family and the police and the fire department. There have been cases open, but then they were closed, and it's just a big mystery. So we're going to kind of jump right into it.
Woohoo!
The fire happened on Christmas Eve, December 24th of 1945. In Fayetteville, West Virginia.
I just want to say, did you notice what our working title on this is?
No, what is it?
Standing Outside the Fire, because I started thinking of the Garth Brooks song.
Nice.
I just want to throw that out there.
I mean, it actually does fit, though. So, you had George Sodder and his wife, Jeannie.
Okay.
They had 10 children altogether. At the time, 9 of them were living at home still.
Okay.
The oldest had gone and was serving in the military in World War II. So, but they still had 9 children at home.
Yeah.
The night of the fire, Jeannie and George were able to escape with 4 of their children. The other 5 were presumed to be in the house. But we will get into why we say that they were missing instead of killed. So, George Sodder was actually born with the name Giorgio Sudu in Sardinia, Italy in 1895.
Okay.
He immigrated to the United States when he was 13 with an older brother. His brother went back home as soon as... he and George cleared customs in Ellis Island. For the rest of his life, George would not talk about why he left his homeland. I mean,
I get that, though.
Yeah. He did eventually find work, working on railroads in Pennsylvania, carrying water and things like that to supply to workers. Then he went on to be a driver. And he started his own trucking company, he hauled coal that was mined in the area, and that's where he met Jeannie Caperani. She was a storekeeper's daughter, and she also came from Italy in her childhood. So they had a lot of common place there.
Right.
They did marry. They settled outside of Fayetteville, which at the time had a very large population of Italian immigrants. They had a two-story timber-framed house that was about 2 miles north of town. George's business, was going good, prospering, things like that. And he was actually known as one of the most respected middle-class families around.
Right.
However, he had some very strong opinions and was not shy about talking about them. And that led to some people not liking him so much, as it will do to one if you have strong opinions and you don't care about sharing them.
Yeah.
In particular, he had some very harsh words for Benito Mussolini, who at the time was the dictator of Italy. And so that led to a lot of arguments within his own community of Italian immigrants. But that was very common. There was a lot of people from Italy who did not like him, and a lot that still did.
Right.
So it's just, yeah. 1943, they have their last of their 10 children named Sylvia. It was their second oldest son who had left the house. His name was Joe. And in 1945, Mussolini was executed. But George still had a lot of criticism against him. And he... all of his criticism left some really hard feelings within the community.
Okay.
In October of 1945, they had an insurance salesman visit their house. And George told him to go away. They had really heated words. And the insurance salesman told George that his house would go up in smoke and his children were going to be destroyed.
Well, that's not suspicious at all.
He said that was all due to the dirty remarks he made about Mussolini.
Okay.
Another visitor to the house who said that he was there to work went around to the back and told George that a pair of fuse boxes would cause a fire someday.
Oh.
George was very puzzled by all this because he just had the house wired and had an electric stove installed. So it was something that just happened.
Right.
I mean, which in 1945, people were still kind of about the whole, wood house and electrical, it could very well be explained by just someone being overly cautious from an older generation. However, in the weeks before Christmas of 45, George's older sons, they said that they noticed a strange car that was parked on the highway into town, and that the people inside of the car were watching them and their younger siblings as they went home from school. So now we have two people who have warned George of something very terrible happening to him and his children, and now we have someone staring at the children.
Right.
Either way you look at it, it's kind of getting freaky.
Yeah.
So now we go to Christmas Eve, 1945.
Happy day.
Happy day. The oldest daughter, Marion, had been working in a local dime store in Fayetteville. And so she used some of her money to surprise three of her younger sisters with new toys that she bought them. There was Martha, who was 12, Jeannie, who was 8, and Betty, who was only 5.
Okay.
The kids were so excited to have new toys, they asked their mother if they could stay up to play with them.
Aww.
And she said they could. Stay downstairs, play with your new toys that your sister got you.
Right.
She trusted them.
Yeah.
About 10 p.m., That's when Jeannie said, okay, you guys can stay up past your bedtime, as long as the two oldest boys were still awake. And so the two oldest boys were John and George. So you also had 14-year-old Maurice and his 9-year-old brother, Louis. The older boys said that they put the cows in, fed the chickens, you know, all that stuff. She wanted to remind the boys, hey, you got to do your chores before you go to bed.
Okay.
The other boys were already asleep because they had a hard day working. So after she tells them this, you know, she's like, okay, y'all can stay awake. Just remember to do your chores before you go to bed. She takes Sylvia, who's only two, upstairs with her, and they go to bed.
Okay. I mean, makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, they're in home. You know, you've got siblings there. They're old enough to watch the young ones. You know, just do your chores. Make sure you lock up before you go to bed.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. I can't do that because I only have one kid, and he can't watch himself.
No.
As much as I wish he could. No. Not watch himself. I do not trust that child.
No, he cannot.
That's why I have alarms on all of my doors to be outside, because I would not trust my child not to go outside.
Yeah.
So at 12:30 in the morning, the telephone rings. Jeannie wakes up and she goes downstairs to answer it.
Okay.
She answers it, and there's a lot of noise on the other end, but finally she hears the sound of a woman asking for someone, but it's a name Jeannie doesn't recognize.
Okay.
So she just told the caller, you know, you have the wrong number, you know, and hangs up. She did say that she remembered the woman having a very weird laugh, but at the same time, you know, she's hearing sounds of glasses clinking in the background. It's Christmas Eve.
Right.
Woman's probably drunk.
Yeah.
Let's be honest here. She's probably had one too many sherries and misdialed.
Yeah.
So she hung up and she went to go back to bed. When she did, she noticed that the lights were all still on and that the curtains weren't drawn, which is something that the children normally do when they stay up later than their parents. And Marianne had actually fallen asleep on the couch. So Jeannie just assumes, okay, Marianne fell asleep. The kids went upstairs to go to bed.
Right.
You know, they just forgot to turn off the lights and close the curtains.
Mm-hmm.
So she does that, and then she goes back to bed. About 1 a.m., so 30 minutes later, Jeannie is woken again from sleep.
Okay.
Because she hears the sound, a very loud sound coming from her roof, something hitting it. She hears a loud bang, and then a rolling noise, and then nothing.
Okay.
So she's like, okay, maybe something fell on the roof, rolls over, and goes back to sleep. Another half hour, so now we're at 1:30. She wakes up, and she's smelling smoke.
Uh-oh.
When she got up, she found that the office that George had was on fire. And it was all around the telephone line and the fuse box.
Okay.
So, kind of ironic that that's exactly what was told to them would happen.
Yeah. Just a little bit there.
You know, but at this point, they're not thinking of that. They're thinking, oh shit, fire, let's get the kids and get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I mean, as I'm pretty sure anyone would do in that situation. My thought would be, I ain't thinking about who's behind this. I'm gonna get my kid and get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So she runs back to George, wakes him up. He then goes and wakes up the older sons. George and Jeannie are able to get out with four of their children. Marianne, the older daughter.
Okay.
Sylvia, who's two. And then John and George Jr. John is 23, George Jr. is 16. They yelled at the children who were upstairs, but they didn't hear anything. And they couldn't go up the staircase because the the staircase was already in flames.
Right.
So they're trying to call up there, but they can't hear anything, and they can't go up there.
Yeah.
John did say in his first interview with police that he did go up to the attic to tell his siblings to get up.
Mm-hmm.
But then he changed his story later on to say he only called them from the downstairs and did not actually see them. So there's a little bit of a changing of a story. But that's very common. You know, even for 23 years old, you know, yeah, I went and got my siblings. Well, no, I didn't actually see them. I called to them. You know, it first police interviews and then changing stories with stuff like that. It's common.
Mm-hmm.
The family did try to rescue the children, but it became really, really, really complicated to try and do this. The phone obviously does not work because it's on fire.
Yeah, I mean, that obviously does not.
Yeah. So Marion runs over to a neighbor's house to call the fire department.
Okay.
A driver on a nearby road also saw the flames and went to call from a tavern. Neither one of them were successful because they could not reach an operator for some reason. It was either because the phone there, they just can't reach an operator.
Right.
You know, they don't know why.
And it could be that the fire disrupted the phone line somehow.
Exactly. It could be the phone was broken.
Yeah.
You know, couldn't even get a signal out. Couldn't get an operator because they're busy. The phone lines are down.
Whatever
the case may be. Eventually, someone was successful in contacting the fire department from another phone in the center of town.
Okay.
Problem is, in 1945, fire departments relied on one call, and then they would call the individual fires, mm-hmm. and then they would have to come in.
So, because they didn't stay overnight.
Yeah, they didn't stay overnight. So, you have a delay there. You're always going to have a delay when they're not right there. So, while they're trying to get a hold of the fire department, George, who is completely barefoot, climbs the wall and breaks into the attic window, cutting his arm.
Oh, I mean, desperate times here.
Yeah. They tried to use, you know, him and the boys tried to, they were like, we're going to get the ladder, and we're going to use that to get up there.
Right.
But the ladder wasn't where it normally was, where they had it that night before they went to bed.
That's weird.
And it couldn't even be found anywhere nearby. Like, there was no, like, they didn't know where it was. It was just missing.
Wow.
A water barrel that was right there that could have been used to extinguish the fire was frozen. Completely frozen over. George then tries to go and get his trucks that he uses in his business. You know, hauling the coal and things like that. Pull it up to the house and use those to climb up to the attic window. Neither of them would start, despite having worked just a few hours before the previous day.
Wow.
So, really, the George, Jeannie, and the four kids have no other choice but to sit there and watch their house burn.
Yeah.
With what they assume the other five children are in the house.
Right.
They have no reason to believe they're not in the house. And they have no way to get to them if they are. And the house burned over 45 minutes. And I want you to remember this, okay? It burned for 45 minutes. They assumed that the other five children were in the house still and they had died.
Mm-hmm.
The fire department, like I said, was already low on manpower. You know, it's war.
Right.
So a lot of their firefighters aren't there anyway. And then, of course, having to rely on having to call them, chief of the fire department, his name is Morris, said that the already slow response was hampered because he couldn't drive the fire truck, so he had to wait until someone could drive the fire truck to come in.
Well, that depends.
If he was drinking and he could not drive the truck.
Yeah, well, and
or
also...
Or if he didn't know how to drive the truck.
Well,
I'm not sure if those also count for the special licensure as well because of the size of the vehicle.
I believe they do, yes.
Yeah, so if he had not...
If he had not gotten his certification in driving the truck,
yes.
He cannot drive that truck.
Exactly. And it could have been as simply as it was that. Like, he was a new hire. He had not done the training yet. Or he hadn't gotten the hours.
He was the chief.
Or so, he let it lapse.
Yeah, I'm more likely to believe he either let that license lapse.
Or he had been drinking.
Because it's Christmas Eve.
Well, and also, as the chief, if he's not really driving the truck, he may not have seen...
The point of keeping it up to date.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that you may not see the point of. One of the firefighters actually was Jeannie's brother.
So oh, wow.
The mom's brother was there. And they couldn't really do anything except look through the ashes that were left of the house that were now in the basement. By 10 o'clock that morning, Chief Morris told the family that they did not find any bones. As it should have been expected if the other children had been in the house.
Right.
However, according to another document, they did find a few bone fragments and internal organs, but they did not want to tell the family. Modern firefighters say that their search would have been cursory at best. You know, there's really nothing they could do. They didn't have the technology to actually do a correct search.
Right.
However, Moore still believed that the five children that were unaccounted for had died in the fire.
Right.
Now, I wanna bring this up real fast because this is where it's weird. Anyone who knows anything about biology, bones do not burn like you think that they do. It's not like paper. It does not burn and turn into ash. When you send someone to a crematorium, their furnaces run upwards of 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit.
Right.
And they're burning for 2-3 hours. Bones don't burn in that typical fashion, but they do burn at a chemical level because of the phosphorus and the calcium in the bone, which causes bone shrinkage. They take those bones, modern times, in modern crematoriums, they take those bones and put them through what's called a crenulator, which reduces the bones into the ash that we know. However, a 45-minute house fire is not going to get that hot.
No.
It is not going to get that hot. It did not burn hot enough, and it did not burn long enough.
And even then, once they put them in there, it still takes another 2 to 3 hours.
Yes.
So exactly. The length of time by itself is...
At 2,000 degrees, it takes 2 to 3 hours.
Yes, that's what I mean.
So it's like, no. I mean, you can have it at a slow temperature, but you're talking 48 hours minimum.
We're talking you're in a wildfire that we can't control, and it's been burning for like 3 days.
Exactly. There is no, you know, this 45-minute temperature. No.
No.
The chief told George to please leave this site undisturbed because he was going to contact the state's fire marshal office so that they can conduct a further, more formal investigation.
But now here's the other question, and maybe it's because I have a game for you to play after this, and so my brain is already...
I thought I was weird fast.
You normally are, but I
You're
decided,
switching it up today.
Yeah, I decided to switch it up a little bit. Because when bones are heated, even though they may not turn to ash, they do fuse and change shape.
They do.
So is it possible that they did not notice or they missed?
They said that what was there was a bunch of ash and that was all. In one report, they did say they found a couple of bone chips and an internal organ.
How did the internal organs survive?
That's going to be brought up later.
Okay, cool.
Because that is answered in something else. But but it's one of those things of if the bones did fuse, they would have found more than a few bone chips.
Yes. But because they changed shape and color, whether or not they were buried and they decided, oh, this is just ash and didn't actually investigate.
But Morris told George, leave this alone. I'm going to contact the state fire marshal.
Understandably.
Yeah. About
4 days after, though, George and his wife said they couldn't stand looking at it anymore. They couldn't bear the thought of that.
Yeah.
So George bulldozed the remaining site. And he had the intention of converting it to a memorial garden for their lost children. The local coroner had a little inquest the next day. He said that the fire was an accident caused by faulty wiring.
Which is possible.
Yeah. Among the jurors was a man, the man, who threatened George and said that his house would be burned down and his children destroyed in retribution.
Oh, yeah, because he should have been on the jury.
You're right. I'm sorry.
I see a conflict of interest. And also, why wouldn't you use that to get out of jury duty? I have nothing against jury duty, but like...
I have jury duty coming up, and I can do every single day except one that I have to take my kid to the
bathroom. I'm just saying, though, a legit excuse like that, I mean...
Right? You have a legit excuse.
You literally threatened the poor man. Well, you may not want to admit that in court.
Right? You don't want to admit that because it's either... Let's say it's faulty wiring, or I threatened that his kids were going to burn up. Just saying. I threatened that his cell phone was going to go boom and his kids were going to die.
And I'm not saying get out of jury duty because you want to get out of jury duty. I'm just saying if you have a legit reason.
Right? I mean, there are some legit reasons. I've had to, you know, I've been excused from jury duty because, you know, at the time I was selected, my husband was out of the country.
Right.
I had no one to help me watch our son.
Yeah.
So I had a legit excuse.
Right.
And they're like, okay, yeah, you don't have to show up.
I had a legit excuse, and now I don't. Because my
mommy...
Isn't
that joyful?
I know, my mommy now can watch my child. I no longer have a legit excuse.
Yeah, just say she's working.
It's one of those things where it's like, in this case, you probably should not have been on that jury.
Probably not.
And I could see a mistrial because of that.
Do you... Well, it was just an inquest. It was just a formal inquest from the coroner.
Still.
So it wasn't a trial or anything. It was
an
inquest.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah. They wanted to say, okay, this is... The coroner says, this is what I believe happened. And they say, okay, yeah, that seems...
Like, it taints the data.
It does. It makes the data biased.
And I don't like it when people taint my data.
I know you don't like it when people taint your data. Free birthers.
Birds aren't real. Yeah, all these things
God. I really, like, I'm of two minds with that one. I wish that there was more information about the birds aren't real movement. At the same time, I don't. It's a funny one. So if anyone's listening, look that one up for shits and giggles.
Yeah.
Because there's not really enough information to do an episode about it, but it's hilariously funny.
I might have to go through their subreddit.
Oh, God. So, on December 30th, death certificates were issued for the five Sauter children. The local newspaper actually contradicted itself and said that all the bodies had been found, but then later in the same story said only part of one body was found. There was a funeral on January 2nd of 1946. But George and Jeannie were too grief-stricken. They could not attend that funeral. So the four remaining children did attend the funerals of their siblings, which is understandable.
Yeah.
As a parent, you don't want to lose one child, nevertheless five.
Right.
In one fail swoop. You don't want that to happen. So now we get to when the family starts questioning the official version of things. And we get some answers, but then we get a lot more questions. Yes. So, it wasn't too long after the funerals that the Sauters began questioning the official findings. They wondered, if this is an electrical fire, why did our Christmas lights stay on throughout the fire's early stages?
Possibly because they're on a different breaker.
1945.
I don't know when breakers were invented. Like condoms. I don't know this shit.
You
did. I'm looking at breakers. I'm sorry.
There are still a lot of houses that were built that are on single breakers, but they just had a fuse box. It was a general fuse box, so it was all one.
Okay.
Because that's what started the fire. They said the fire started from the fuse box, and it was an electric fire from the fuse box. So if that was the case, why didn't the Christmas lights go out?
Right.
Because at that point, the power should have completely gone out.
Yeah.
They did find the ladder that was missing from the side of the house 75 feet away in a ditch at the bottom of a ditch.
Wow.
So for anyone in anywhere not in the U.S., that's 23 meters away from their house where it should have been and was just a few hours before. So try to explain that one.
Right?
At the bottom of a ditch. A telephone repairman, when he came out, he told the Sodders that the house's phone line had not been burned through in the fire, as they thought, but was actually cut by someone who must have been willing and able to climb a 14-foot pole and reach 2 feet away from them to do so. So again, for anyone not in the U.S., that is 4.3 meters high and 61 centimeters away from their bodies to do so.
Jeez.
A man whom neighbors had seen stealing stuff from the property around the time of the fire was identified and was arrested. He admitted to the theft and claimed that he was the one who cut the phone line, thinking it was the power line. But he said he didn't have anything to do with that fire.
Of course not.
But at this time, it's like, okay, yeah, I will admit to robbing these people, but I did not kill them.
Yeah. Okay?
I will tell you anything you want to know, but do not think I am guilty of murder.
Yeah.
Where did I go? No record, though, identifying him exists this day. And why he would have wanted to cut any lines to the Sodder house while stealing stuff, block and tackle, had never been explained. So they don't know why he would have stolen from them, of all
right.
people, and why he would have cut that. He had no yeah. reason to. Jeannie Sodder said in 1968 that if he had cut the power line, her and her husband and their kid, the other four kids, would have never been able to make it out of their house.
Right.
Because they wouldn't have been able to see.
Yeah.
1945, it's completely dark. You can't get out of the house. So if he had cut the power line,
right,
they wouldn't have had electricity.
Yeah, but just because you don't have electricity doesn't mean you can't see either. You can't see well, but...
They're in the middle of booming town, but they're outside of the city.
Right, but you're assuming that there's no moon. There's a lot of different factors that go into that. Because even as I'm driving down roads, I don't have lights. Like, if there's a moon out, holy shit, I can see just fine.
True. Jeannie also
I work in the boonies.
You do work in the boonies. Jeannie also had a lot of trouble accepting what Chief Morris said about the bodies, saying that all traces of the children's body would have been completely burned and destroyed in the fire.
Oh, that's... Okay. There's no internet to check his facts. But no. Still, but they're not right.
This is why she had issues with it. Because a lot of the household appliances were found still recognizable, as well as their tin roof was still found in one piece.
Yeah, but also you're looking at location too.
We are, but if you're thinking about, okay, if an appliance in that room is still recognizable where the...
Oh, in that room. Okay, I was thinking like
fire.
Kitchen. No,
where
I was thinking
fire.
Like another room. So.
Yeah, like the appliances, yeah. The whole house burnt to the ground. The fire encompassed the entire house.
Right, but where it started is going to be the hottest.
Exactly. But if they're still able to find these things and the roof is still intact, which tin, it has a higher melting point than some things, but not that much higher. Definitely not higher than human bone.
No.
But if the tin roof is still together
right.
and in one piece, how is it that the bones are not there?
Yeah.
So she actually conducted some test results.
Oh,
she did. She also looked at the reports of fire with a newspaper to a house that was very similar that she read about that killed a family of seven.
Okay.
All skeletal remains of those victims were found in that case. So she's sitting here going, okay, there was another house fire. It killed seven, but they found every single bone of those people.
Right.
Why can't they find my five children?
Yeah.
You know, this is literally the mother's instinct going insane here. And like I said, she did her own little experiments. She would burn small piles of animal bones to see if they would be completely consumed.
Okay, that's... I mean, okay, I get it. It was your kids.
It is.
On another level, though.
It is. It's the mother's intuition going on the insane because no one is believing her.
Right.
So she's trying. She's like, okay, the people who do these things aren't willing to do them for me. I'm going to do them myself and prove to them that I am right.
Yeah.
She even talked to a local crematorium. And the employee there told her that human bones, like I said, remain even after the bones are burned at 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit for 2 hours, which is far longer and hotter than that house burned. And anyone in the United States, that is 1,090 degrees Celsius.
Yeah.
That is a very hot fire. Mm-hmm. And that the bones still remain at that temperature after 2 hours.
Yeah.
So where are her kids' bones? They do think that the trucks failing to start could have been because in their haste, some people believe that they didn't start because George and his sons accidentally flooded them.
Which is totally possible.
It is. George believed they had been tampered with, perhaps by the same man who cut the phone line and tried to steal things. It wasn't until a son-in-law told the Charleston Gazette Mail in 2013 that he had come to believe that George and his son had accidentally flooded the engines in their haste trying to get those.
Yeah.
Which is also very, like we said, very plausible.
Yes.
You know, all they know is we need to get these trucks so we can get the kids because we can't find water.
Yeah.
And 1945, it's very easy to flood your engines. Yeah. It's not like now.
Now, that would be a feat.
There were some people who thought that that wrong phone number was associated with the fire and the disappearance of the children. But police were able to find the lady who made the phone call and determine, no, it was just indeed she was drunk and dialed the wrong number.
Again, a very easy thing to do when you're drunk.
Very easy thing to do.
Before, I mean, you know, we had phones that had names.
I mean, even if you're not drunk, I got a wrong phone number tonight. You know, someone just dialed the wrong number and called me by mistake. It happens. Yes. You know? Okay, whatever. So now we're kind of going into springtime. The Sodders, they finished the garden for the children. And for the rest of her life, Jeannie carefully and tenderly tended to that garden. As if that was her only connection to her children, which it really was.
Yeah.
But there were some developments early in 1946 that kind of reinforced the family believing that that the kids were alive somewhere.
Right.
There had been some evidence supporting it, that the fire had not been started in the electrical system, but was instead set deliberately. The driver of a bus that went through Fayetteville on late Christmas Eve said that he actually saw some people throwing, quote, balls of fire at the house. A couple months later, after the snow melted, you know, things like that, little 2-year-old Sylvia, found a small, hard, green, dark green, rubber ball-like object in a bush nearby where the house stood. George, remembering his wife saying no, there was a loud thud on the roof and a boom, right before the fire, said it looked like a pineapple bomb, which is sort of a hand grenade. That is used in combat situations.
Right.
The family said that contrary to what the fire marshal said, the fire did not start in the office. It started in on the roof. So they're contradicting. And
yeah,
they have kind of the facts to back that up. Sorry about that. We have to take a small little detour as my kid woke up.
Yeah.
Got sick. But we are back with the Sutter children.
And he's feeling fine.
He got it out, and then he started laughing. So here's hoping he goes back to sleep and doesn't give me any more trouble.
Yeah, at least he has no school tomorrow.
Right. It's a weekend. We were talking about I said that, contrary to what the fire marshal said, the family believed that the roof is where the fire started. Because of the pineapple bomb and things of that nature. Other witnesses claim to have seen the children. One woman said she was watching the fire from the road, and she saw someone peering out of a passenger car while the house was burning. She said the children were in there. Another woman at a rest stop between Fayetteville and Charleston said that she had served them breakfast the next morning, and she said that she saw a car with Florida license plate in the rest stop as well. So the Sodders then hire a private investigator from a nearby town by the name of C.C. Tinsley to look into the case. He learned about the insurance salesman who threatened them with fire, had been on the coroner's jury that ruled the fire an accident, so he went and told that to the Sodders. He also learned about rumors around Fayetteville that despite his reports to the Sodders that no remains had been found in the ashes, Chief Morris had found a heart, which he later packed into a metal box and secretly buried. Morris did confess this to a local minister who confirmed it to George. Sodder and Tinsley went to Morris and confronted him. He agreed to show them where he buried it. Mm-hmm. So they went out there, they dug it up. They took what they found to a local funeral director who, after examining it, said it was a beef liver that was very fresh and was never exposed to fire. Other rumors circulated that Morris said that he admitted that the liver did not come from the fire, that he had placed it there in hopes that the Sodders would have found it and been satisfied that their children had died.
Yeah.
But again, internal organs. Internal organs and flesh in any fire are the first to burn.
Yeah.
So, George did not even wait for signs of his children to come in. He would go out and find them himself. He saw a picture of a young ballet dancer in New York City that he said resembled his daughter Betty. So he drove all the way up to the school and demanded to see his daughter. The girl came out and she was like, "No, I'm not your kid.
I'm not your kid, dude."
He also tried to contact J. Edgar Hoover, who at the time is the director of the FBI. Hoover said that he responded and he said, quote, "Although I would like to be of service, the matter related appears to be of local character and does not come within the investigative jurisdiction of this bureau. If local authorities requested the bureau's assistance, he would, of course, direct agents to assist, but the Fayetteville police and fire departments did not want to do so." So really he can't.
And that's a matter of just not overstepping his bounds.
Exactly, and that's still a rule in place today.
Yeah.
FBI cannot come into a local jurisdiction case without either cause that it crosses state lines or crosses into federal jurisdiction, or they are invited in.
Yeah.
They actually make that case on Criminal Minds several times about how they can't come in just because they want to.
Right.
They have to, yeah. So in 1949, George talked to a pathologist from D.C. named Oscar Hunter and actually persuaded him to come to supervise a search through the dirt of the old house site. He dug around and he did find some artifacts that belonged to the children, including a dictionary and some small coins. There were several small bone fragments that were uncovered, and they were determined to be human vertebrae. Okay, and this is where it gets really weird. So the vertebrae were then sent to a specialist at the Smithsonian Institution.
Okay.
They were confirmed to be the lumbar vertebrae, all from the same person. But they said, quote, "Since the transverse recesses are fused, the age of this individual at death should have been 16 or 17 years, with the top limit of age being about 22 years. Since the criteria, which normally fuse at the age of 23, were still unfused. So because of this age range, they could not, it was very unlikely that they came from any of the five missing children. Although Maurice, who had been 14 at the time, was, you know, that was the oldest one.
Yeah.
You know.
But it still could have been from her, because we know that the fire could fuse.
Well, it's a boy. Maurice is a boy.
But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. The report did allow that the vertebrae of a boy his age sometimes were advanced enough to appear at this age. But there's enough suspicion for the Sodders to keep going, that's not my child.
Right. Sorry, I thought you said her for a second, and I was like, okay, we'll roll with that.
The specialist also added that the bone showed no sign of being exposed to flame. He said that it was very strange that those bones were the only ones found, since a wood fire of such a short duration would have left full skeletons of all the children behind. The report concluded that the vertebrae instead most likely came from the dirt that Sodder had bulldozed over the site. So he probably had some bone in there, you know. Later, the private investigator supposedly confirmed that the bone fragments came from a cemetery in a town called Mount Hope, but they could not explain why they'd been taken from there or how they came to the fire site. The Smithsonian did return the bones to the Sodder family in 1949, but their current location is unknown. The investigation and findings actually attracted national attention. The West Virginia legislature actually held two hearings about this case in 1950. The governor and state police superintendent actually told the Sodders, though, that the case was hopeless, and they closed it at the state level. At that point, the FBI did decide it had jurisdiction because they thought that it did cross state lines.
Right.
But after 2 years, they dropped the case because they said there were no available leads.
Makes sense.
But that did not stop the family.
No.
It did not stop the Sodders. And as a parent, I don't think I would ever stop either. If there is even a remote possibility that my child is out there somewhere, I would not stop.
Right. So they put up flyers of their kids. They actually had a reward up to $5,000,
and then they doubled it to $10,000, which that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
For any information. In 1952, they actually put up a billboard at the site of the house, and another that was along US Route 60 with the same information. And eventually it became a landmark for traffic through Fayetteville on US Route 19, which is today's State Route 16 for West Virginia. There was another supposed sighting. There was a woman named Ida who said that she ran into the children at a Charleston hotel. She said she did not remember the exact date. The children came in around midnight. They were accompanied by two men and two women, all of whom, to her, appeared to be of Italian extradition, is what she said. When she tried to speak to one of the children, one of the men looked at her very hostily and then turned around and began speaking rapidly in Italian to the party. At that point, everyone stopped talking to her. She said that they left the hotel early the next morning, but investigators then and today do not believe that it was credible, because she'd first seen pictures of the kids 2 years after the fire, and it was 5 years before she came forward.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things. They did continue to get some claims coming in saying that, you know, their children were alive. A woman in St. Louis claimed Martha was being held in a convent. There was someone in Texas who said that he overheard two people talking about a fire that happened on Christmas Eve in West Virginia. But none of these came forward. George actually heard that a relative of his wife, Jeannie, who lived in Florida, had children that looked very close to his. So he went down there, and the relative actually had to prove that those were his children before George would leave.
I mean, because genetics.
Genetics play a part, but it's also one of those things. I mean, again, terrified father, wanting to know where his kids are.
Yeah, but my kid looks a lot like my side of the family.
He really does.
I'm just saying.
He really does.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
In 1967, he did go to Houston to investigate another tip. There was a woman there who said that Lewis had revealed her true identity to her after he had been drinking one night. And she believed that he and Maurice were living somewhere in Texas. But George and his son-in-law who went down there were unable to speak with her. Police did help find the men that she talked about, but they denied being anything remotely related to it. His son-in-law, Grover Paxton, did say years later that doubts about that denial still were in George's mind for the rest of his life. And then they got another letter. One day, Jeannie got a letter in the mail from Central City, Kentucky, with no return address. Inside, there was a picture of a young man who looked to be about 30 years old and had features that really, really looked like Lewis, if he would have been in his 30s. And on the back, it was actually written, "Lewis Sauter, I love brother Frankie, little boys." So they hire another detective to go down to Central City to look into it, but that detective never reported back to the Sauters, and they were never able to locate him again. That picture, though, kind of still fueled the hope for them.
Right.
So they put that picture up with the other pictures that were on the billboards. But they left Central City out because they were afraid that if Lewis saw this, that it would scare him and he would run off. George told a newspaper that he said that it felt like he kept hitting a rock wall. That there were several times he felt like he couldn't continue, but they kept going. He vowed to continue because he said, quote, "Time is running out for us. We only want to know. If they did die in that fire, we want to be convinced. Otherwise, we want to know what happened to them."
Yeah.
George died in 1969. Jeannie and her surviving children continue to seek answers, with the exception of John. John never talked about the fire another day in his life.
I mean, again, that's not unreasonable.
No, I mean, it's one of those things. Everyone deals with it in their own way. After George's death, Jeannie stayed in that house, and she put up fencing around it, added additional rooms. Yeah. But for the rest of her life, she wore black. She tended the garden at the site of the former house, wore black, and that's what she was. She died in 1989, and that's when the family finally took down the billboard. The surviving children and their children, so we have now gone, you know, not only the surviving children, but the next generation of kids.
We're talking about three generations.
Yeah, continue to try and investigate leads and trying to get the case publicized. They, along with a lot of Fayetteville residents, believe that the children may have been taken by members of the Sicilian Mafia in an effort to try and extort money from George. And said, you know, told the kids that they were going to do this, but they were going to set fire to the house, but if they came with them, they were going to be safe. They think that it was possible the kids were taken back to Italy. And that if the kids had survived all these years, the reason that they avoided their families, because they knew that the family was alive as well, was that they were afraid something else would happen.
Yeah.
So fear is a great motivator. If they were taken back to Italy, they were told, if you ever contact your family again, we're going to kill everyone else.
Right.
There's going to be something else worse to happen. As of 2015, little Sylvia, who was the youngest one, was the only one that was still alive from the fire. And she said that it was her earliest memory that she had. She said, quote, "I was the last one of the kids to leave the home. I experienced their grief for such a long time," when speaking about her father, about what might have happened. And she does believe that, she did believe that her siblings survived that night and tried to help assist with efforts to find them. Her daughter in 2006 said that Sylvia promised her parents that she went if the story dies, so she did everything that she could.
Right.
There have been a few things that
There has been an increase of interest in the case, because there are some that do believe that the children did in fact die. In a 2012 book called West Virginia's Unsolved Murders, by an author named George Bragg, he claimed that he solved the case, or that he claimed that he knew what happened. He said that John was probably telling the truth in his original account when he said that he tried to physically wake his siblings before fleeing the house. And he basically believes that that was what really happened, and that even though logic tells us they probably did burn up in the fire, but you can't always go with logic, but he does believe that they did burn.
Yeah.
There have been radio shows about it, books about it, all because of we don't know what happened to these kids. You had 5 kids disappear.
Yeah.
And you had parents who never gave up to their dying days. Of trying to find their children and never believing that they actually died. So that is the story of the Sauter children. Unfortunately, it's still unsolved.
Right.
There is no solving it right at this moment in time.
No.
And because of how long it's been, and I'm pretty sure Sylvia has passed away by now.
Yeah.
The chances of the other children still being alive, very, very rare. If anything, their descendants might be alive, but they might not be aware of what happened.
Well, with the invention of DNA testing.
Exactly. It is a possibility, but it might be something that the kids weren't aware that their parents were.
They don't have to be aware, though.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, I had somebody contact me on Ancestry, and they're like, you showed up. And then I looked on it, I'm like, my son showed up. I have no fucking idea how you're related to him. I can't fit him into your little family tree. I apologize. I know nothing of my ex's side of the family.
But at the same time, how many people, you know, some people do the ancestry thing. I did. You know, my mother is really into genealogy, so I did it.
Quite a few people are doing it just to find the heritage markers.
Some people are. But if those people were not, you know, if the original Sauter family was not tested and you only have these ones, you're talking third, fourth cousins, you might, you know, the names are changed, you know.
No, but they would still pop up. And if somebody was curious enough, they could possibly piece it together.
I mean, but there's still no answers resolving this case.
I want to know the 2 people that live in the UK. How am I related to you, you 2 people? Tell me.
I have like 3 people in the UK and I'm like, you're going to be my new favorite cousin.
Right? I want to come live with you for a week.
Yes.
We're going to become besties. And
that's what's going to happen.
I'm going to tour the UK with my kid.
That is what's going to happen. So, but that is the case of the Sauter children. So what do you think?
I mean, it's a very interesting, we've talked about it before briefly.
We have. We've talked about it personally in depth a little bit. And
I think we've made references to it.
We have made references to them because it is a known case, but it's unknown.
Yeah.
You know the name Sauter children. You know it was about 5 children who disappeared, but you don't know everything that went into it.
Yes.
Because that billboard, those billboards were prominent markers on that road for years, decades even.
Right.
You know, but that really does, I think it shows the dedication of a parent.
Yes.
To go, you know, 3, 4, 5 decades still believing and still pushing with everything you have to find your children.
So you ready to hear about my game?
I am ready to hear about game. I don't know why I do this voice.
We're gonna play a game called Fact or Conspiracy.
Wait, are we actually playing this game?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm gonna tell you a statement. You're gonna tell me if you think it's a fact or a conspiracy.
Okay, let's see how well I do.
Yeah, let's see. We'll start off easy. The J.K. Rowling you know is really an actress and not a writer.
Conspiracy.
Yes.
Don't question me about my Harry Potter stuff, okay? I am the Potterhead in this household.
That one came from a Norwegian filmmaker who posted her theory in a newspaper article. The government once stole dead bodies to do radioactive testing.
Fact.
Mm-hmm.
It is a fact.
What was the name of the project?
I have no idea. Project Glowing Skeleton. No.
Project Sunshine.
Oh, that's even better.
The government was stealing parts of dead bodies because they needed...
Was it our government?
Yes.
Okay, so just for clarification, this is the United States government.
they needed young tissue, and so they recruited a network of agents worldwide to find recently deceased babies and children, and then took samples and even limbs, collected without notification or permission from more than 1,500 grieving families.
And this is why we have donating to medical science... Or science in general, donate your body to science, and then they can use it this way so we don't have to steal bodies.
Right?
I mean, I have already said that I don't mind. If you want to use me for medical science, go right ahead.
The CIA developed a heart attack gun.
True?
Yes.
Yeah.
The theory goes that the CIA built this secret weapon in the 60s and 70s. The weapon actually would shoot a small dart that would disintegrate, but it could penetrate clothing, and it would only leave behind a tiny red dot on the skin and injected poison to the victim.
See, things that come with the CIA, you never quite know.
No, you really don't. During Prohibition,
okay.
The government poisoned the alcohol in order to keep people away from drinking.
I would want to say that's a conspiracy, but I'm going to go with true.
Yes, it actually started before Prohibition.
Okay.
They pushed manufacturers to use stronger poison in order to discourage bootleggers from turning alcohol into moonshine.
Mm-hmm.
This, of course, did not stop the bootleggers.
No.
As
we talked about in St. Valentine's Day, Mexico.
They can nude stoop anybody.
You want your booze, you want your booze. In fact, I'm going to take another sip of my booze.
What?
Cheers.
Cheers, everyone. Whoops. I clicked a weird button.
What? Stop clicking buttons.
I don't want to. Let's see. Katy Perry is actually a grown-up JonBenet Ramsey. I just wanted to say that one. I'm sorry.
I have seen that one in so many tabloids. That is a conspiracy. Katy Perry has come out and said, no, this is my mother. I have pictures and video of me coming out of her vagina. Her mother has come out and said, no, you want to see the video of her coming out of my vagina?
I mean,
she's the wrong age, too.
The FBI, or the Ku Klux Klan, was involved in Martin Luther King's assassination.
Wait, the FBI or?
Yes, or the Ku Klux Klan.
I'm going to say true.
No, that is actually a conspiracy theory.
Okay.
They believe that Ray was actually framed for the murder, and he did not commit it.
Okay. Well, because the way you said it was like, okay, I can see it being the KKK, but the FBI, I was like, he was friends with JFK. But
there's
then
two
again,
different versions. One is FBI, one is Ku Klux Klan, but they follow the same line. So
okay.
Lumping them together for that...
Okay.
That purpose, if you will.
That should have been my clue that it was conspiracy.
I mean, maybe. The CIA once tested different drugs on Americans in order to experiment with behavior modification.
True.
Yes. It's called MK Ultra. It was real.
Mm-hmm.
Most notably, it was LSD.
Yup. That's why the 60s and 70s were so weird.
Well, yes.
I mean, people were willingly putting it into their bodies, but let's study you.
Yeah. Adults can grow new brain cells.
False.
No.
Oh.
By the 1990s, adult neurogenesis producing new brain cells after 20 or so was generally accepted as fact.
Okay.
Let's see. Blue Ivy is not really Beyonce's baby. Why so many of these
ones? That is conspiracy.
Yes, it is.
They say that she had a surrogate.
Yeah, they do. They do, but she did not.
She did not. She was very, very proud of her pregnancy pictures.
Yeah, she was.
She's been proud of all of her pregnancy pictures. And she's rocked the pregnancy bod.
Yeah, she has. The moon is hollow.
Conspiracy?
Yes. I love how, not sure you were on that one.
I don't do planets, except for Pluto. Pluto is still a planet in my mind.
The Dalai Lama is a CIA agent.
Conspiracy.
No.
Oh, Jesus! Fuck! Oh, God, that hurts!
The reason that it is false is because according to declassified intelligence documents, he did earn $180,000 in connection with the CIA's funding of Tibetan resistance to the tune of $1.7 million per year.
Why is it the CIA ones that stomp me?
I'm not sure.
You can never be sure with the CIA fucking A.
I mean...
Thank you for listening, CIA people. I know you
we
are.
We love you.
We love you. Come and clean up my kid's vom.
What?
CIA can come clean it up for all I care.
E.T. is buried in the deserts of New Mexico.
False.
True.
What?
E.T. is buried. The game E.T.
Oh my
is
god.
Is buried in a landfill.
You. Oh.
All the unsold cartridges for the E.T. video game, which was hell, because if you fell into that pit, you never got out again, are buried.
So someone had a very funny idea of, we're going to actually bury E.T.
Yeah.
So someone can say that they found E.T. in the desert.
Yeah.
When they stormed Area 51, which turned out to be a giant festival, which is awesome.
Oh, I mean, yeah, no, it seriously was. It was great.
I wanted to go.
Let's see. The CIA created AIDS in a lab in order to get rid of undesirable people. Just gonna throw that out there.
Conspiracy.
That was a quote. Yes, the theory is not confirmed, but it is true that scientists have accidentally let diseases free in the past.
Yes.
Even possibly with evil intent.
Yes.
So that has
bioterrorism.
The Canadian government was so paranoid about homosexuality that it developed a gaydar machine.
Fact?
Yes. In the 1960s, the government hired a university professor to develop a way to detect homosexuality in federal employees.
Let me tell you, that does not work.
He came up with a machine that measured pupil dilation in response to same-sex erotic imagery. The Canadian government used it to exclude or fire more than 400 men from civil service, the military, and the Mounties. The American government, though, was just as guilty for a few different things.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Surprised it was Canadians.
Right?
Canadians are
so nice. I mean,
I like the Canadians. I have a lot of friends from Canada.
I'm gonna piss her off.
Oh god.
Vaccines cause autism.
Conspiracy.
Yes.
That guy was discredited. Thank you very much.
Yes, he was, and he lost his license.
And their conspiracy is that they just railroaded him because they didn't want him to tell the truth.
I mean,
believe what you want.
The U.S. Air Force.
Which Air Force?
Laboratory researched the possibility of using pheromones as a weapon.
True.
Yes. It happened in 1994.
Why are you testing my military knowledge?
And it was called the gay bomb.
Oh,
by
God.
The way.
That is awesome, actually.
I knew you were going to enjoy that one,
I like
so
that.
I just had to throw
it. And
that.
It's from the Air Force.
Right?
Can I just say, for personal reasons, that makes me all warm and tingly inside, and I am dying laughing.
The U.S. government spied on John Lennon.
True.
Yes, in the 60s and 70s due to anti-war culture.
Yep.
Although, I will say,
yeah.
Chemtrails are poisoning everyone.
What?
Chemtrails, the white streaks that come out after an airplane goes by.
True?
No, there is no evidence.
Okay.
In fact, most of the time it is considered to be water vapor causing those.
So I thought, but I was like, well, maybe I'm wrong.
True, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Hitler survived!
God, I hope that's a conspiracy theory.
It is. We have no evidence that Hitler actually survived.
I'm like, we found his bones. We found his body.
They believe that it was actually a lookalike that we found, not...
Which, I would not put it past Hitler to do that.
No, I would not either.
But at this point, how old is that motherfucker?
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably gone by now, hopefully.
You would hope, right?
Well, because I think the last war criminals from World War II, I think the last surviving ones were caught in, like, the early 2000s.
Was it the early 2000s?
I think it was the early 2000s. I think they thought there might be another one, but I think he's passed. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure right now. The U.S. Public Health Service lied about treating black men with syphilis for more than 40 years.
True?
Yes. In 1932, the Public Health Service collaborated with the Tuskegee Institute to record the history of syphilis in the black male community. And in doing so, they hid who was actually being provided with adequate treatment.
Yep. Gotta love our government.
More than 100 million Americans received a polio vaccine contaminated with a potentially cancer-causing virus.
True.
Yes. 1954 to 1961, the Simian Midas 40 somehow showed up within the polio vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
We're still not 100% on that one. About one or two more? What do you think?
Yeah. I think I'm on a roll. I think I'm doing pretty good at this, actually.
You are. You're doing really well.
I know my conspiracy theories, damn it.
Well, I picked some really fun fake ones because
some of the ones I'm like, no, Katy Perry is not JonBenet Ramsey. Her brother killed her. I mean, I'm gonna do that case.
The Nazis created a wonder weapon called the Nazi Bell.
Yes.
No. There's no physical evidence this weapon ever existed. Monsanto is a company that is responsible for genetically modified food. And they are also responsible for a lot of issues going on in the world, including pollution and global warming.
Okay.
So, are they poisoning you?
Depends on what your definition of poisoning is. I say no, it's conspiracy theory.
Yes, there's no evidence that what they are doing
is
directly poisoning.
Because people say that genetically modified foods are poison, but they're not. It's a different thing.
Yeah.
It's all it is. It's different. It's not poison. It's different.
Military leaders plan terrorist attacks on the U.S. in order to drum up support for war against Cuba.
Yes,
1962.
Mm-hmm.
They even included a host of funerals in their plans for mock victims, starting rumors and blowing up a U.S. ship in Guantanamo Bay and blaming Cuba for it.
They actually, they will still run scenarios of that, like say, you know, this is what's happened. They make plans of, okay, if we are attacked at this point, how do we do this? You know, this is, and they use that as training. So it's not a big leap to say, no, they would do that.
Oh yeah, no, it's really not.
It's the military, come on now.
The U.S. government sold weapons to Iran, violating an embargo.
Yes.
And used the money to support Nicaraguan militants.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. I thought my first answer was
senior officials in the Reagan administration facilitated the sale of arms to Iran, then under an embargo.
I
like
how I didn't. I tune change. Well, because I didn't know that the funds went to Nicaraguan fighters. I knew that they sold them, but I didn't know about that second part.
Yeah, no, they did. They totally.
Yeah. I didn't know that second part.
It was a thing.
I was like, but it's half right, so I'm gonna say yes.
You're like, it's half right.
It's half that I know of, for sure. Because I knew that they did that.
I love how you're justifying your answer right now.
I know, right?
Like, you are 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I get confused by something you read.
I accidentally scrolled through. It was not actually a weather balloon that crashed in Roswell, New Mexico.
Conspiracy?
true.
What was it?
The weather balloon story was a cover-up. It was not a UFO, though. It was probably a balloon from Project Mogul, which was a Cold War attempt to spy on the Soviet nuclear missiles that used balloon-borne acoustic detection.
Okay.
But they used the weather balloon, so technically, yes, it was a cover-up.
Okay. But, I mean, it also could have been a lot of other things because, I mean, I thought someone was like, well, it also could have been a new airplane they were trying out or something like that. I mean, military is notorious for having top secret things that you don't know what they are and then you see them flying over. There are things that I see flying over my city that I'm just like, what is that?
American scientists attempted to militarize the weather.
True?
Yes. While they were experimenting with weather modification, how to use that in order to use it as a weapon started coming up. The government even admitted to attempting to make it rain to slow down movement along the Ho Chi Minh Trail.
Okay.
Lizard people are running the earth.
True. No conspiracy. Yes. I mean, some people I would say are lizard people, but that's just my wishful thinking.
Giraffes aren't real.
Fuck off. That's a conspiracy. You told me about that.
I did tell you about that one, yes. It's so much fun to, like...
Here's one for you. Are birds real?
Thank God. Oh, Lord. Help me.
Or are they just little drones?
I mean, okay, so China did make a drone that looked very, very bird. Like, I watched the video.
They did.
Okay.
But the whole theory that birds are all faked and they're drones, I'm like, and I asked you this yesterday, what about that motherfucking bird who kept running into the side of my house? Like, that was just a dumb bird.
Finland doesn't actually exist.
Finland? True, it's Finland.
I said it does not exist.
How? Okay, is it a pronunciation thing?
No.
Okay, a conspiracy?
Yes. Okay. They say that it was set up in order to fishing rights and all that for Japan. And it actually is a very complex one.
Gotcha.
The royals are responsible for the death of Princess Diana. I just gave her the most joy she's gonna have in a while.
That is a conspiracy. But a lot of people say it's true because of the whole Dodi Al-Fayed thing. But we actually watched that video that said that the unidentified car that was in the tunnel as well. So.
Yes.
That's a conspiracy.
Let's see.
Depending on what you believe.
No, depending on what you believe. I love how you're, like, throwing that one out there.
Well, I don't want to isolate anyone.
I mean, I get that.
We have a lot of European listeners. A lot in the UK. I mean, I want them to feel my love.
In 1994, the passenger ferry MS Estonia sank in the Baltic Sea, killing 852 people, one of the worst peacetime maritime disasters. Heavy seas damaged the large bow and caused it to break off, exposing the ship's vehicle deck to the open seas. It quickly filled with water and sank. Poor reaction from the crew contributed to loss of life. Nevertheless, was it sunk deliberately, either with explosives or by someone on board deliberately opening that forward door?
Conspiracy?
Yes.
Okay.
Most of the claims actually center around two Swedish military trucks that had been among the vehicles being ferried, but more than a week before it sank.
Okay.
But the conspiracy theorists say that they were on board at that time.
Yeah.
So, and I think that wraps it up.
Okay.
I just wanted to touch on a couple international ones just because...
Let's not focus all on us.
Well, I mean, we had some very interesting...
Yeah.
I knew the Dalai Lama one would probably...
The fact that most of ours are not conspiracies, but are in fact true...
I mean, that's a whole nother level there that I don't want to talk about. That makes me uncomfortable.
A lot of the things with the military are not actually conspiracies. That's the sad thing. Yeah. So what are we talking about next week? Or next time?
I can't say it.
Why not?
I don't want to say their name.
Say it.
The Raelians.
It's your favorite group.
Found them when I was in middle school.
You've been planning this one since we started. You've been trying to work it up because you don't want to throw up.
Yeah. No. They make me cringe a lot.
Are we going to need more Swedish ale for this?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
But that does it for tonight.
Yep. So that's going to be next time. Make sure to like us and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Share us, review us, send us messages. We want to hear from you.
Follow our YouTube list.
Yes. We just started a YouTube list with the different videos and things that we've seen and that we use. Like us, follow us everywhere. Rate us, review us. But also, please write us. We're very lonely people.
I mean, yeah.
We're the only people we associate with is our children. Please save us. Okay. I associate with a 7-year-old who takes 4 hours to write 3 sentences.
Still a little bitter, I hear.
Still very bitter about that one.
Have a good night, everyone.
Night.